Okay, folks, I now call the April 15th Board of Supervisors meeting for Fluvanna County to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Do we have an adoption of the agenda? I couldn't hear it, guys.
Second. Mr. O'Brien.
Okay, we got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Booker? Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
And chair votes aye, motion passed 5-0. Mr. Dahl, do we have county administrator's report?
We do have a county administrator's report. Just a few things to report. So just a couple things that's going on with the community. So there's a food drive that's being sponsored by the Rotary Club of Fluvanna County. The food drive will be held throughout Lake Monticello Thursday, April 23rd. They're requesting non-perishable food items to be placed in bags or boxes by their mailboxes between 8 and 10 a.m. And then if the public wants to also donate, they can send checks or any type of other funds to MACA at 8878 James Madison Highway, Fork Union, 23055. Some of the needed items include, you know, things such as peanut butter and jelly, pasta, spaghetti sauce, canned vegetables, fruit, ramen noodles, mac and cheese, you know, pretty much anything that's a non-perishable item, any type of canned products or you know, boxes of cereal, granola bars, anything like that they're requesting. Again, that's the Rotary Club's having the food drive April 23rd, Thursday, April 23rd from 8 to 10 a.m. We also have a elevated storage tank that's painted finally. The logo's up, it's completed. Now, they may need to do some final testing just to make sure the mills of the paints up to appropriate thickness, but the tank is painted. So if you drive by it, you'll see our wonderful logo up on the tank. So that's a great thing to see up on the tank and see some progress on that. And then just kind of one final thing. Obviously, you know, we want to thank everyone for being vigilant against COVID-19, you know, for staying at home, covering your face when you go in public. And just, you know, obviously if you're out in the public, make sure you cover your face to protect your loved ones, friends, and community. The image was provided by Lynn Staten Ural for this. So that's all that I have to report today, Mr. Chairman. And then again, just some board meetings coming up. So the April 22nd meeting we had on there is a TBD. That has been canceled. It was going to be a budget meeting. We had canceled that. And then on April 29th, we are going to be continuing this meeting from today until April 29th at 4 p.m., at which time the board will go through further discussions for budget, fiscal year 21 budget, and then adopt the budget at that same meeting. And then on May 6th at 4 p.m. you have a regular meeting, and then on May 20th at 7 p.m. you have a regular meeting. And that's all that I have to report, Mr. Chair.
All righty. Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I will now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wish to speak to the board, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Do we have anyone online that's wishing to speak at this time?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yes.
I will now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wish to
stick to, or please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there, do we have anyone online that's wishing to speak to this panel?
Yes, you do.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yes.
On the first round of public comments, anyone wish to speak to the board, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there, do we have anyone online that's wishing to speak to this panel?
Yes, you do.
Ms. Raynard, is that you?
Yes, I'm on the line as well.
Okay, someone has audio in the background. If they could turn that down, we're getting an amazing loop.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, please state your name and address.
Patty Rainer, Broken Island. So, is it all right to go ahead and speak now?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was listening in on the meeting last week, and I did follow up with an email to the board members, but I also wanted to just follow up tonight with my comments on that. I know that you guys are waiting to hear a little bit more about what the state and the governor is going to do with cuts, but I have heard that there's about $9 billion in cuts that are coming in Virginia alone. So I hope that you guys are, you know, not seriously considering following through with some of the expenditures that were originally looking at for approval. Especially, I think I was very concerned to hear that the board was still even considering raises for staff of the county and raises for teachers. I know that you guys seem very passionate and focused on, you know, holding these groups of people in the county harmless, but it seems like we forget that all the rest of the residents in this county are not, you know, focused on or being considered in the same light. So I don't know, you know, like I said, where are you going to go with that? But I was very disappointed to hear that there were still considerations of giving those raises, especially in the situation with the crisis of the coronavirus. So that I don't know what is being looked at for cuts, but I think there's going to be a lot of cuts the county needs to be considering. I know that there's a huge amount of money that, you know, for this fire truck in the county. But, you know, I'd just like to hear what exactly the numbers are for these fire companies. You know, how many calls are being responded to in the county on an annual basis? And, you know, from each company, what that breakdown is, because that's a lot of money being invested in these trucks and equipment. But, I mean, you never hear about, I mean, maybe a couple of house fires a year, but I don't know where that information is available for people to see, but I would love to hear those numbers from someone so that we would have an idea of, you know, how many calls are being responded to by these trucks. And, you know, like I said, I was really very, very disappointed to hear that, you know, the county was still considering raises, because there are so many people, and I would like to know that real number just for the county of Savannah, but I know that it is, you know, increasing every day for the country and for the state. The number of people that are losing their jobs or going to get furloughed, or, you know, if their small business is closed, they can't go back to those jobs. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what that's going to mean for a lot of people, but I know taxes, increasing taxes is not going to be the answer for the people that are just going to be struggling just to exist and buy their groceries. So, you know, just like with the opening remarks from Eric on, you know, the food drive and stuff, I mean, it says a lot, you know, for what is going on in our county, but it's not just our county. Everybody's dealing with this, and, I mean, we don't know when it's going to end. But I know that we're heading for a recession. I think we're already in a recession, and I think that's going to increase to a depression at some point. And, you know, recovery from even, you know, recession or a depression, that's years. That's not months. That's years. So, you know, to put people in a worse situation than what we're already in, I just don't see raising the taxes and, you know, continuing with expenditures that are totally not necessary for the county. I, too, saw the new logo on the water tank when one of my water hoses busted in my house and I had to go to Lowe's. I saw that. But you know what I saw? I saw almost $20,000 when I went past that sign. I was just like, that's beautiful, but I don't see $20,000 in money on that water tank. That money could have been spent in a much better way, I think, in a more necessary way. You know, I want to go back to the landfill again. You know, we are continuing to lose money in that landfill, but we still keep investing in light poles and, you know, equipment and scale upgrades. So that's a never-ending thing. You guys talk about, you know, kicking the can down the road, but, you know, nobody's solving that problem. But, you know, to continue to spend money, you know, we're never going to get that money back. And it's going to continue to lose money, and it's only going to get worse, not better. So I just want to know, like, what is being done by our county to solve some of these issues? You know, continuing to fund them and lose money and then, you know, every year have that same issue. I don't...
Ms. Raynard, if you can wrap up, ma'am, that was the 5-minute buzzer.
Okay. All right, well, then I guess I'll wrap up. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else?
Kelly, you have someone else there?
Yep,
someone else is there, Mr. Chair.
Will you state your name and address, please? And then you've got your 5 minutes.
Hi, this is John Lai, Chair of the FRA. To answer Ms. Reynard's question, there are, in rough numbers, approximately 1,800 fire calls per year and about 2,800 EMS calls per year. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time?
There is not, Mr. Chair.
Okay, hearing none, I will now close the first round of public comment. We have a public hearing on the board, and it is FY20, Dines Crossroads Water and Sewer System Budget. Ms. McIver.
Good evening. I am here to talk to you again about the Zions Crossroad budget amendment. We had a change in the amendment. We originally came to you asking for $2.75 million. We have decreased that to $2,250,000. After going over numbers again and changing, it appears that we are not going to need, thankfully, quite as much money. I did want to remind everybody, originally we had earmarked $3 million for this, had reduced it to 2.75, and have now reduced it even further to $2,250,000.
What was the difference in that? Why? How did we
things are just coming in less than we had thought, and we had built in a big cushion.
I knew we had a cushion.
I'll tell you some of the reasons too, Mr. Weaver. So the money that we took out for debt proceeds was being invested. So after the finance department went through, and we always had kind of the $3 million was kind of a high watermark that was there. So as we're getting into the world that we need to make sure that our fund balance is a lot tighter, and we're kind of just really trying to get a little more laser focus on some of the numbers, we got about $400,000 in interest earnings on our debt proceeds since we took out the debt for this project. So we're accounting for the interest earnings in here. So that's a big part of it. You know, we're also looking at just kind of where the project's going, and you know, for right now, things could change in the past. But I think for right now, for us to be able to commit to a more realistic amount up front, I think this number is a more realistic amount, and it'll give us maybe just a little bit of wiggle room. And you know, if something drastically changes, then we'll come back to the board above this. But I think we're going to, and like I said, we'll go to the next slide. I think we're going to be closer to this amount for needing out of fund balance.
So with some of the other expenses on the water line, this will maybe make up for some of the overcharges that we've had maybe in the past?
I'm not sure what you mean by overcharge.
Well, in other words, we budgeted for something and we maybe found it was a like $100,000 over, $50,000 over. This will sort of supplement some of those.
Some of the change orders?
Yes.
So let me, I'll
bring up the...
I'm sorry. I'll bring up the PowerPoint here.
All righty.
Okay, so...
Are you done, Ms. MacGyver?
No.
No, we're just getting started. Sorry.
Just getting started. All right. The FY20 budget that was adopted was $82,838,129 in revenues and expenditures. And as we talked about before, if we're doing over a 2% increase, we have to have a public hearing, and we are asking for $2,250,000, which is more than that. We currently have left in our SNAP account, which is the account that we have the debt proceeds in, is $1,064,461. That includes the remaining principal we have left and the interest that we have earned. That combined is that amount. We currently have almost $372,000 in invoices to requisition funds for, so we deduct that amount from that $1 million. We have committed contracts of $2,550,000, almost $558,000, and then an additional $154,470 in anticipated cost. So if you deduct the invoices that we need to requisition reimbursement for, our outstanding contracts, and our current anticipated additional costs, that leaves us with a shortfall of $2,019,835. So the $2.25 million would give us a little bit of wiggle room for any additional change orders above what we already know with what we have committed.
So hopefully that comes in at right at budget or slightly below, and we can get a little bit extra back.
Well, that's
our hope.
That's our hope. And just kind of just a little recap too, because I know as we go into finishing out fiscal year 20 and going into fiscal year 21, you know, just so the board's aware, you know, this is you know, a fairly substantial request coming out of fund balance, and we had been planning for this, you know, for quite some time, but obviously the rule of COVID-19 has kind of changed, you know, some things a little bit. So just as a recap for the board, so we maintain an unassigned fund balance at a minimum of 12%. It's basically you take 12% general fund revenues and the school's revenues, but then you just kind of back out what we transfer to the schools, and that is kind of our reserve amount. That's where we have to stay above the 12%. That 12% number is 9 million. It's a little over 9.1 million. In addition to that, we are currently above that 9.1 million by 5.8 million. So we have roughly about 14.9 million in our unassigned fund balance, which per our policy, we have to keep at minimum of at least that $9.1 million in there. when you go back to our fund balance policy and just kind of what the plan is, let's just say, for instance, that our revenues didn't come in where they need to be at the end of the year, and say we had to dip into that, say the amount, the 5.8 million that we have existing, say we had to dip into that, and then we had to dip into the 12%, we've got to come up with a plan to be able to replenish that. And in our current policy, it says that in the event unassigned fund balance is required to be drawn below the 12% requirement due to an emergency, such as natural disaster or due to severe economic circumstances, the county administrator will present to the Board of Supervisors a plan and timeline to restore the unassigned fund balance to its minimum level established. So it our policy doesn't necessarily state specific what that timeline is. The one thing I can tell you, though, per general accounting principles, the restore period should generally be within 1 to 3 years. So if we had to dip into that $9.1 million, we have to come up with a plan. And the board can determine this too. The board can say, well, you know, we want to come up with a plan that says we want to do this within 1 year, but within general accounting principles, 1 to 3 years is an acceptable period of time to replenish that reserve.
Is that something that the rating agencies will, you know, sort of stay put if you have the plan in place to do it within 3 years? Or
well, yes. I mean, obviously, if So here's the thing.
The last time.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. You know, we've had ratings by Moody's and S&P, and the one thing that in all of our ratings, it's always said they understand that we have, you know, a high debt load, but they were always very complimentary, and it was always to our benefit to have a very conservative fund balance policy, and we had good fund balance reserves in the county. So that is something that is always a benefit to the county for ratings. And I know Ms. Twisdale and Ms. MacGyver, they've been on some calls recently too with the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association, and the VGFOA, which is the Virginia Government Finance Officers Association. What was the other one?
VACO
and some others.
And the Virginia Municipal League.
Yeah, and the one thing that is definitely during this time that is being echoed is make sure you've got, you know, cash reserves on hand. And make sure you've got your fund balance policies in place, and you've got some plan to replenish it if that comes to it. So, you know, right now we have above our 12%. Once the board approves this, that'll take that 5.8 down to about 3.6. You know, if anything were to come short at the end of this fiscal year as far as any revenue collections, obviously, if we are not doing better in other revenues or we are not below our expenses, which we generally are, then we would possibly have to dip into fund balance to balance out the current fiscal year's budget that we're in fiscal year 20. Now, we certainly hope that that's not the case, but, you know, I'm not a mind reader, and I can't project what's going to happen. I know a lot of our revenues, you know, we've budgeted for delinquent taxes for real estate and personal property, and those are coming in about on budget right now. But, you know, we still have our big first half tax collection for the calendar year, which affects fiscal year 20 that we're in. So.
What is the general average that we have used the fund balance for in each year? You know, I mean, we've always drawn, almost always drawn from the fund balance.
So just about every
CIP or for, you know, some project that didn't get past the year before.
Probably about $2 to $3 million, and I can say every year the board adopts some type of use of fund balance, and generally what has been approved to use in fund balance that year, it generally gets replenished that same year from how the year ends up. So we end up better, and it kind of washes. So our fund balance has been fairly flat for, you know, a good amount of years now as far as our total fund balance. You know, if we have a big tick in and maybe taxes not coming in, that could affect where our fund balance ends up at the end of this fiscal year. But, you know, that's not to say it cannot be recovered in fiscal year 21, but we're not sure how that's all going to shake out.
And I know that I've always we've had items that have been placed into the unassigned when in fact they were really already committed for, such as the ZXR project being an unassigned, but really was a committed number because we knew we'd have that expense.
It is. I mean,
are there other ones that?
No. Well, I mean, let's go to the next.
That situation.
Let me go back. So right now, so as we spoke about before, that 5.8, that's been kind of the number that we use to fund CIP, to fund projects throughout the year. If the board approves anything, that comes out of the kind of the unreserved unassigned fund balance. So the only other thing we really have, and like I said, on this slide, you know, remember we were showing $3 million at one point. Now we're showing 2.7, and after we go through, we think we can get away with trimming the numbers down. We think we can make it work, barring anything unforeseen, at $2,250,000. Now that doesn't account for anything in the fiscal year 21 budget, which we normally fund some CIP out of the fiscal year 21 budget. But as of this point, the board has taken out pretty much any CIP in the 21 budget. And the only other things that we have that are kind of coming down the line is the burn building. There was some discussion about the burn building, which We nominally had a $400,000 kind of just wedge in there. And then there's going to be some additional James River Water Authority costs that Fluvanna County is responsible at some point down the road. But that will not be in fiscal year 21. That would be in fiscal year 22 or 23 at the earliest.
Yeah.
But it comes, it's something that's going to come at some point. So, you know, as we go today, you know, we're at 5.8, and once the board approves the 2.2, we're down to 3.6, and that's kind of where we stand for kind of having our cushion above our reserve.
And then what are we expecting?
That's the tough thing right now. It's really difficult to project what we're going to have come back in, because until all the real estate taxes come in June 5th, it's really.
Does that number though? Does that number count the stuff that we said we weren't going to do, like the truck?
No, the 6.8 that we talked about.
Folks, are we getting off the public hearing right now?
No, we're just giving the board some background for the use of fund balance before we move forward with approving the fund balance, approving the $2.2 million use of fund balance.
Mr. Dahl, this is Patricia. I'd like to know, is it possible that we cancel the debt for the fire trucks by not getting the fire trucks this year and use a credit or borrow money for some of this so that we don't have such a hard time with our, you know, what's left in our fund balance?
Okay, so
had we thought about that?
The trucks, we talked about last week about not funding the debt service for the two fire trucks, and that debt service actually comes out of the operating budget.
Yes.
So that was like $165,000 we had figured in the operating budget that we took out in an effort to kind of balance the budget last week. So at this point, the way that stands, if nothing changes, we aren't planning on funding those two trucks this year.
Okay, what is it possible to borrow to help us pay for the Zion's Crossroads deficit?
Yes.
It is possible, but I would be against that because we're going to have to go up.
Yes. So
go up.
So this $2 million that the board has talked about putting a wedge for to pay out of cash. Could you take out debt to fund that amount? You could. Now we've generally done our debt fundings through the Virginia Resource Authority. We get a little bit into a timing issue because the Virginia Resource Authority, they've got three pools that they do a year. They do one where there's an application period due in February. There's actually another one due May 1st, and then there's another one due in August 5th. So let's just say hypothetically the February 1st application period has passed. I guess it's conceivable you could submit an application for the May 1st period. The downfall with that is those bond proceeds do not fund until August. So what's going to happen? What would happen is, you know, there may be a small amount of unassigned fund balance the board would have to approve in this fiscal year, because I don't think we have enough. We're not going to have enough debt proceeds or budget authority to fund the remaining project in this fiscal year. So you may have to approve something. So let me just throw out, say for instance, say the number is $2,250,000. You know, maybe you would fund out of unassigned fund balance $250,000, $500,000.
Probably $500,000.
And then you could, I guess in theory, you could take out debt proceeds for the other $1,750,000. Now, what's going to happen is the county is on the hook to pay those bills, but there's something called a reimbursement resolution. So when the debt issuance funds in August, the county could reimburse ourselves for prior expenses that we've paid on the property.
Right.
But
But keep in mind, if you do that, you're going to be looking at $150,000 debt payment that we're going to have to figure into the operating budget that we're not accounting for right now.
Yeah. So if you wanted to do that, we would have to have, as Ms. Twisdale said, we would have to put $150,000 into the fiscal year 21 budget to pay for the debt service.
Okay. How many years would we debt fund that for?
Probably 20.
Okay.
20 years. 20 years, I heard you say that we have a wedge for the burn building of $400,000. Could that help? Using that instead of leaving it there for the burn building.
Well, the burn building, I mean,
that's just money that stays in unassigned balance.
Yeah,
right now.
The $400,000 is just sitting there as a placeholder. It has not been formally committed by the Board of Supervisors. It is just something that's out there with a potential use of fund balance, so the board has visibility for what are some things that may be coming down the road.
Okay, so that hasn't been taken out of the 3.6 million?
No.
Or the 5.1?
No.
Okay.
It has not.
No, but
So that doesn't help us.
No, it's okay, because there's enough in the fund balance that you could pay for the first year's expenses of the new debt from fund balance. So in essence, you're borrowing to pay that.
You could
take the $150,000 out of fund balance, which is better than taking out $2.5 million or $2.7 million, which we should have taken out to begin with. I mean, we ended up, I don't want to say underfunding, but when we first did this round of funding for the Zion's Crossroads, we decided not to do the full amount. We did $6 million or $8 million, if I remember.
We did around $8.5 million.
$8.5 million versus the $10 million that we actually needed. So we're actually just going back to what we would have done if we borrowed it all up front. So that would achieve both what I think is a good idea, which is to preserve the fund balance at a higher level and give us some flexibility. Because if we get to the point where we are essentially at reserve or just above reserve, we've eliminated almost all flexibility for CIP projects and any other expenses that come up. So I do like that idea. And then, of course, Mr. Sheridan's trying to keep the tax rate at level. So borrowing from the existing fund balance to pay that would accomplish that goal. So I think we can do both and come out ahead. So I would be in favor of that. And we still have a little bit of time that we can maybe get it done in May.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if
now we're getting into our budget, guys.
Well, no, I think what we're really getting into is the board going to move forward with funding $2.2 million out of fund balance today, or is there a different number that we need to get us through the end of the year, and then we submit a Virginia Resource Authority application? I guess that's the bigger question on how the board wants to move forward. I can tell you, you know, I think interest rates from last I heard that they were talking about, they're probably in the 3.5% range on some of the current things, and who knows what it's going to become come July or August.
Lower.
Well, yeah. Not necessarily. What's actually happened is it's gone the opposite direction. According to our financial gentleman we talked to about this, 3 weeks ago you couldn't borrow money. Everything just stopped. And unfortunately the rates went up instead of down, because people now are perceiving this to be a higher risk because of people's financial situation. So it could go down, but
fair point.
Yeah. Could not. Sure. We don't know.
And to that point, you know, there is if things get really bad, you're going to see a lot of municipal defaults. I mean, there's going to be places that just don't have the money, so they're going to default.
Correct. The one thing I can tell you, the Virginia Resource Authority, you know, has been reaching out to localities saying, you know, what's your plan? What are you doing as far as your revenues and stuff like that? And fortunately for us, we don't have a lot of revenues that fluctuate based upon economic conditions necessarily, for, you know, meals tax, transient occupancy tax, BPOL, things of that nature. Sales tax is our main one, and you know, we're going to have a dip in from some areas of sales tax, but we may have an increase in some other areas of sales tax. So knowing where that ends up, are the losses going to be offset by the increases in other areas? I don't know.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, but again, so today, before we get to the public hearing, we still have to go through with the public hearing for what was advertised for funding unassigned fund balance, $2,750,000. But after the public hearing, the board can have conversation and decide how they want to move forward. Like I said, we think we can get the whole thing funded with a little cushion and barring anything major happening for $2,250,000. But if the board wants to do something different, then we can discuss that and move forward with that.
I think it's smart to borrow.
And right now we're looking at 9.2 in our 12% and 5.8 in our fund balance unassigned, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
So the difference is, do we want to have 15 million in unassigned or in our fund balance or 12.8?
Correct. And the slide that I have up too, we have some outstanding CIP projects that are sitting out there, and some of them have been there and some of them can be discussed, but there are some projects that, again, the board could say, well, you know, we need to do something else because these are higher priorities and these projects haven't started at this point, which is $658,000. That's just for discussion. But so really, we don't have anything more to really go over as far as the fund balance. Obviously, once we go through with the public hearing, we can answer more questions for the board and to kind of figure out a path forward.
Well,
I suggest we go through the public hearing.
Are there any other questions from your board?
I guess if we're going to the public hearing, we still have the ability to finance it. Is that correct or not?
Correct. I mean, I guess at this point, once we go through the public hearing, if the board says, you know, that they're interested in submitting an application with the Virginia Resource Authority, I guess today maybe, I don't know what formal motion we would need, just authorizing, you know, staff to submit an application to the Virginia Resource Authority. You know, obviously just submitting an application doesn't bind the board to take out debt proceeds or anything like that. There's many other steps to go from there, but that's kind of the first initial step. But we would probably have to, on the fly, figure out what amount we need to get through the end of this fiscal year, and we'd probably need easily $500,000.
I would say so. I mean, we're still going to have to put $500,000 into this for FY20 because we can't overspend on Zion waiting for loan proceeds if it's going to cross years. So we're still going to have the remainder of the debt money will go toward the Zion cost, as well as probably, I would say, $500,000 out of fund balance to get us through June 30th for the bills that we're going to incur for the work that's currently happening. At that point, when July 1st hits, we can start spending toward Zion Crossroads with the understanding, if we go out for debt, that we're going to reimburse those expenses from the debt proceeds when they come in.
Yeah, so if the board approves, say, let's just say we want to finish out and just so we've got the authority in this fiscal year, say it's $500,000. Well, even if we spend that $500,000 with the reimbursement resolution, we could reimburse ourselves back for that from this point forward. So,
okay. Let's do the public hearing.
So Mr. Chair, yeah, what? I think probably the best thing is if we want to open up the public hearing, if there's comments, and then we can go from there.
Okay. Hearing no other questions from the board, I will now open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Please state your name and address.
Patty Rayner, Broken Island. So is the comment on the public hearing for the Zions Crossroads funding, is that what we're allowed to speak on now?
Yes, ma'am, that's it.
Okay. I don't know all the specifics and the details of that, but I would definitely not be in agreement of taking out more debt, because exactly what happens, I don't know who made that statement, but in a recession or depression, all rates go up, not down. And, you know, for the, you know, then you have to have another way to come up with that money. And then that means going back to, you know, raising taxes. But you're raising taxes on the same people who are in the same boat financially, where, you know, they can't afford to pay more because they don't have more. I mean, we're already going to, you know, see an increase regardless because of the assessments going up. So the residents of the county will still be paying more because of a higher assessment rate on their property, which to me, I'm not sure I'm going to understand how, you know, because some properties have already been assessed, but if you're doing that according to, you know, the comps of properties that have been sold in the last 6 months, well, that's not going to be real fair for the people now because properties aren't selling. And again, you know, it's just like everything else. It's a snowball effect because now, you know, if you're trying to get a mortgage, it's going to be harder. The interest rates, I look today, you know, if you have above an 8 on your credit rating, well, you might get a 10-year ARM for about 3%. But that's an ARM, a 10-year ARM or a 5-year ARM. Well, if you can't pay it in 5 years or 10 years, you're going to be losing your property. So in order to get just that 3%, you know, if you were trying to buy, but like I say, real estate's not moving. The houses aren't being sold. So whatever sold 6 months ago was great. But if you're using that comp to assess the property that hasn't been assessed already in this county, then that's really not going to be very fair because of the situation that we're in right now with the crisis. So, again, you know what? They're going to probably still use those comps because, you know, you've already set a certain number of people in the county. So everybody's going to be paying more regardless. But that's not going to still help the situation with that $2.7 million for design crossroads. That's got to come from somewhere. But I don't agree with, you know, taking on more debt. I mean, I think, if I can remember correctly, the county's at $94 million in debt already. And that's exactly what happens to our individuals, you know, in this same kind of crisis. You know, they max out their credit card. You know, they max out every option that they have for personal loans, and then they can't pay it back. So, but with the county, you know, the option that the county has.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lloyd. We only have 3 minutes at this time. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time? Hearing none, I will now close the public hearing. Do we have any more discussion with the board?
Well, what we could do, we can just go over the budget and look for something else to cut to make sure that we have enough for the crossroads.
That's not for right now, I don't believe.
Right.
It's just about the $2.75 million or $2.25 million.
Okay, but we're obligated to pay this. We've already contracted. The work's been done. It's going to be closed up.
So can we just revise a motion to say from either unassigned fund balance or debt proceeds?
Well, what we would have to do, we would have to approve something to finish out this fiscal year. So if we think that we need $500,000 for this fiscal year, we would have to revise this to say $500,000 versus.
You can't advertise it too, would you?
No, because we've already advertised.
Can we go ahead and do the two?
Okay, we've already done the advertising.
We would advertise. You'd just be approving a lesser amount.
Okay.
Is how that would be. And then I would have to submit an application, or finance would have to submit an application to the Virginia Resource Authority for, I guess we would do for the 2.250, or unless there's any other previous expenses we could, that were paid out of fund balance that we could do.
The only things that have come out of fund balance were things that were for the entire.
If we did 2.25, that would put us at 12.75. I think.
What's that,
Ms. Fluke? You mean in fund balance?
Your leftover in fund balance total, because I think the 5.8 and the 9.2, we're looking at 15.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, we still have, you know, $3.5 million left in fund balance.
And yep. You have that 658 yep. You could possibly put back as well if you all decided to do that.
That's right. That's the projects that we've already assigned, but I can't see what those are right now.
I can hear. Let me bring it.
He doesn't have video.
That's right. You're right.
We can read them.
One of them's a rescue squad, I think.
Yeah, let me pull it up really quick here. So there's funding.
So we'd be over four.
There's funding for the historic courthouse for $250,000, paving at Pleasant Grove.
What was that for?
Historic courthouse. For little over $250,000. There's money for paving at Pleasant Grove for $98,000. There was funds approved for a third ambulance for $190,000. There was a project for library and sheriff's office potable water that's been out there for
years. 5 years?
I think at four least. Or 5 years.
So has the paving. The paving's been there for a while too.
Correct, for $50,000, and then recoat a middle school wastewater treatment plant for $70,000. So all those total $658,000. Now, just remember, you know, if we were to uncommit those funds, it doesn't mean that they go away and they don't need to be done. Some of these things maybe don't have to be done, but some of them have to be done.
Well, let's keep in mind that, you know, we've already looked at not using CIP for these current. You know, for the next year's budget, and that was at 1.2 million or 1.3
million? You're around 1.2.
So if you added that plus this, you're at 2 million. So, you know, come next budget season, you know, we will now have $2 million that we want to take out of CIP, and we don't know where we don't know where we're going to get that revenue from, or if our revenue numbers are going to be there. I think it's, again, it sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, if sales tax projections don't come in, if this lasts for another 5 months, we could be in a world of hurt. And then if we get to the point where we are below our threshold, now we have to talk about how are we going to get that money back in 3 years and do anything with regard to CIP. So you could be looking at a very substantial tax increase at that point in time in order to accomplish those goals. So again, I like Mrs. Eager's proposal of, you know, giving us that flexibility. We don't have to decide that tonight. We can vote for the $500,000, go out for the application, and then vote to do that or not do that. And if we don't do that, then we just do another public hearing for the additional $2 million that are needed and just go from there. But I think it's a mistake to lock us ourselves in, especially given that we are going to have more information as to what's happening with the state budget, and we'll have more information as to the direction of the state with regard to the shutdown in the next couple of weeks. So I would recommend that we amend or change the resolution to say the $500,000 for right now. And I'm happy to make that motion, unless there's other questions.
Mike, how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with just doing the amount that we need to do to get through the end of the budget year. I'm not a big fan of saying we can look into the debt, see what kind of rate we can get, but I'm not a big fan of going further in debt when we can pay for it. And I know we're talking about we're spending down our fund balance, but our fund balance will still be at what did I say it was? 5.8, so you take that down to 3.5, but if you add in the $600,000, let's say we buy the rescue squad and just hold off on doing the other three things. You know, the sewer plant may be a have to, I don't know. And we know we're going to eventually have to do those things. That still leaves us with $4 million, not counting what we get back because of the shutdown at the end of the year. And I think this is going to be one of those years where at the end of the year, we go, okay, folks, We know everybody likes to hold stuff over and keep stuff over. This year, we just can't afford to do that. Because we've been very gracious doing that for the last 6 years. If somebody's asked for something, we've been able to provide it for them.
Are you talking about the CIP projects, Mike?
Well, the CIP projects or anything else. I'm just talking about what we have left over in our fund balance above and beyond the 12%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that Tony's right. We should probably think about this because we don't know what we're going to have.
The longer we can wait, we get more information. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
One last question. So we cannot borrow for the JRWA, is that correct?
No, we could. Yes. I mean, that would have to be a joint effort between Fluvanna and Louisa because we are 50-50 in the JRWA. So once it gets to that point.
So we would be beholden to whether or not Louisa wants to do that or not.
You know, I would have to check and see how that works. So let's just say Louisa was flush with cash and we weren't at the time.
Better off than we are.
You know, I'm not sure if we could borrow for our 50%.
We should find that out.
Yeah, I could look at that.
Because, you know, if we can't, then given the potential expenditures related to that, that would wipe out the fund balance at that point.
And you know, with the JRWA, we're not sure where that amount's going
right,
to come
what
in
I'm
at
saying.
This point.
It would wipe it out.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it would wipe it out.
Yes.
So we should know that as well, too.
That's a good point, but I imagine we would be able to borrow our half of it. I don't think they could hold us over a barrel and say, okay, you got to come up with this amount in cash.
Yeah, I would think there would probably be a way to do it. There would just probably have to be some type of in the agreements or the resolution specifically stating that it's the responsibility of Fluvanna County
for
that
portion. Two boards that have to vote on that.
Yeah,
aside from
I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and
that's
I wouldn't think Louise would be very happy
right.
with that.
Yeah.
I know I certainly wouldn't
yeah,
follow Louisa.
Yeah, so it's two boards that have to vote on that. A lot of uncertainties there.
It's a double deal.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm ready to make a motion.
Do we have the correct motion?
All you gotta do is swap out the number on the screen for the number in $500,000.
As long as you got it down, Mr. O'Brien, go ahead.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a budget transfer of $500,000 in revenue and expenditures effective April 15, 2020 from unassigned fund balance to the FY20 Zion Crossroads Water and Sewer Enterprise Fund budget.
Second.
Do I have a second? Got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Did we lose her?
Hold on. She somehow.
Ms. Booker?
Hang on.
Oh, we're Kelly's trying to see you.
Somehow got muted again. She didn't let me talk. When we started talking about water and I didn't hear her, I was wondering if she was still on the line.
We might need to ask.
Okay, Mr. Weaver?
Yeah,
if she was on mute, we might need to see if she's got any questions first then. Because she didn't get a chance to speak.
I cannot unmute her.
Well, let's do this here. Hold on a second. Did she call in?
No, okay. She was using her right. Oh, try now.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Ms.
Hello.
Booker.
Yeah, we hear you, Ms. Booker.
I was muted. Excuse me, I was wondering why I was muted. You couldn't hear, you can't hear me. If I'm, my phone says that my mic was muted.
Good now.
We hear you now, Ms. Booker. Well,
okay,
we're not sure what happened. So we haven't.
We can hear you now, ma'am.
We hear you now.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to
okay,
add?
Okay, and
questions?
I mean, you're screaming. No, we're voting.
I thought
on
I heard you in Ken Store.
And I've already voted, yeah. Yeah, but that's.
Would,
well,
there's
you
a
just
motion
unmuted.
You have any,
I don't know. I've already voted, yeah.
Okay, did you have any comments you wanted to add, ma'am?
Why would
Mr.
I,
Weaver?
No. I don't mean to add a comment because y'all are voting, right?
No. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you heard since you were muted. Mr. Weaver? Mr. O'Brien?
I've heard the whole conversation.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. All right, now we'll move forward with action matters. D, contract agent for voluntary benefits, Ms. Toler.
It's going to have to be Ms. Rice. Okay. Ms. Rice, can you hear
yes,
us?
Yes, sir, Ms. Rice.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Perfect.
Let me know when you want to go to the next slide.
You can start the next slide, Eric. So this is a contract for our employees' voluntary benefits. Just a little bit of history to start us off. From July 1st, 2016 through December 31st of 2019, the county had a contract with Pierce Group Benefits. They served as our third-party benefits administrator, and their responsibilities included serving as professional consultant for all of our county benefits, our health insurance brokerage, our voluntary benefits brokerage, which included policy enrollment and claims assistance. And then on January 1st of this year, 2020, the county terminated that contract with Pierce Group in an effort to better serve the organization and our employees by providing more oversight in-house and one-on-one service for the staff. Go ahead, Eric. Okay, so in this past February, the county issued a request for proposal to provide policy brokerage, employee enrollment, and claims assistance. Consistent with what the legal requirements are in Virginia, we cannot actually enroll employees or anybody in insurance or sell insurance policies unless it's through a licensed agent or brokerage. So we're actually required to have an agent of record for this service. The RFP process, First Financial Administrators was ranked the highest, and therefore they were chosen to be the county's benefits agent. The contract will be effective May 1st through June 30th of 21, and then we'll renew every year on July 1st. The reason for that is so that they can get ready for our open enrollment for this year during that May timeframe there, and then also to help fill the gap that we have right now. So their responsibilities are listed here on the page. They are handling our flex spending accounts as well in HSA accounts. They are also assisting us with our COBRA administration and with benefits enrollment. And the best news of all, there is no charge to the county for any of these services. They are actually paid through commission from our insurance carriers, and then also from the fees that are billed to the folks that are on COBRA. Do you have any questions about that?
Well, what would those fees be to the employees then, possibly?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What would those fees possibly be? It says the county will pay no fees to First Financial. They will receive commissions from the respective insurance policies county employees sign up for.
Yeah, pretty much.
The commission, I'm sorry, the commission is paid by the insurance carrier. So currently we're using Colonial Life for all of our voluntary benefits, and our agents actually are paid commission directly from Colonial. So it's actually not visible to the county what those commissions what the commission agreement is between Colonial and the agents, at least for right now. And then for the COBRA administration, when someone leaves employment with the county, they have the option to continue with their health insurance coverage. But in order to do that, they're also assessed a 2% administrative fee, which would go back to First Financial in this instance, and that is actually standard practice through all of the agents in brokerage. I have seen that several times before.
Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
I guess you did. Yes.
Okay. All right, are there any other questions?
I move the board of supervisors.
All right, hearing none, is there, what's that?
Go ahead.
I was going to ask if there was a motion.
I move the board of supervisors approve the contract between County of Flavanna and First Financial Administrators, Inc. for agent for voluntary benefits at no cost for the county, and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to the county attorney approval as to form.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Ms. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We have no appointments tonight. There are no presentations. We will now move forward to consent agenda. E, minutes of April 1st, 2020, Ms. Solis. F, accounts payable report for March 2020, Ms. MacGyver. G, FY20 Sheriff Department insurance claim, 2016 Ford Taurus, VIN number 8348, Ms. MacGyver. H, Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project Agreement Number 17, Ms. Toler. I, Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project Agreement Number 18, Ms. Toler. J, Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project Agreement Number 19, Ms. Toler. K, Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project Agreement Number 20, Ms. Toler. L, CRMF, Treasurer's Office Emergency Roof Repairs, Mr. Kreitzer. And M, Building Official Hiring Salary, Ms. Rice. Is there anything that anyone would like to pull?
I have a small correction on the minutes.
Okay, what's that, ma'am?
My address is 1107 Meat Chunk, not Meat Chunk.
Oh,
so we
okay.
Need a K instead of an M.
Did you get that, Ms. Solis?
I did, thank you, I'm on it.
Is there anything else?
I just wanted to discuss item I. Concerning the rot that's taking place on the roof over the Treasurer's building. I just wonder how that could go so long without being noticed. There's a very good picture again in our agenda, and that has been rotting not for weeks or months, but it's been rotting for years, and I just wonder how we got to that place.
And Mr. Chair, that's item L.
Yes, item L.
Yes, sir, I found it. I'm looking at the picture as we speak.
Yep. Let's see here. You know, the only thing I can tell
that's
you on this,
decoration.
You know, Mr. Hickman is not here and not available, or Mr. Kreitzer. The only thing I can tell you is, obviously, you know, this kind of goes back to the county has a lot of really, really old buildings that have a lot of deferred maintenance. And I think this is a prime example of an old building that has a lot of deferred maintenance. The pictures show that it was woefully not maintained. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know the frequency that they go on the roof to look at this. And it wasn't maybe until a dire need came up to fix the actual leak that was occurring that it came to anyone's attention. So,
you know, one of the problems when you defer maintenance is you run the risk of emergency repairs, and of course you run the risk of collapse, which then can lead to lawsuits, as UVA found out when one of their places collapsed on people. So it's important to take care of
it. But
things.
You have to know it's there.
No, you have to know it's there, but you know, there's a reason it's called maintenance, because it happens, right? So it may seem like we don't need to do this now, but sometimes...
Well, you don't see that and say that.
No, I know. I'm just pointing out that, to Mr. Dahl's point, older buildings require maintenance and repair.
And you have to identify them first.
Yeah.
And again, going back to the historic courthouse, it's an old building that needs a lot of maintenance. And, I mean, you know, again, if we defer those items, they are just going to get to this point where it becomes an emergency. So just, I just want the board to keep that in mind.
Mr. Dahl, I have a question.
Yep.
It says that this is their treasurer's office, but what is the EPDM roof? What does that stand for?
That's a really good question. I don't have a really good answer. It's a type of roof.
Okay.
Let me see here.
It just, from the picture, it looks like there's a railing around it.
I think that's the decorative part up top, and when it says about the copper flashing, that's what keeps that from leaking. Instead of putting the wood on top of slate, they probably have copper up there to run everything away to the slate.
Looking at some quick searches, Mrs. Eager, looks like it's part fixing the slate, and then the EPDM looks like there's some type of rubber membrane that goes either it's goes underneath the slate or it's on another part of the roof, but it stands for ethylene, propylene, dion, something or another. It's up in polymer. Terpolymer, so that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we all don't know what it is, because I was like, stumped.
My expertise is a shovel. All right, is there anything else? Did you want to pull anything from accounts payable, Mr. Weaver?
I think it's all right.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move accounts payable and payroll be ratified for March 2020 in the amount of $2,500,661.61, and that goes to items I through L. Is that it?
No, we need E, F, G, and M, right?
Oh. I through M. E through M.
E through M. Sorry.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
The motion is made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Eager. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
I think she's muted.
She's muted for some reason again.
I think she's doing it.
Okay, Mr. Weaver.
Every once in a while, it'll say unmute.
Yep.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you, Ms. Booker.
Yes, ma'am. I promise you I'm not doing that.
I just...
What's your vote on the consent agenda, Ms. Booker?
I'm unmuting myself. Huh? Yeah, I
Mr.
heard
Weaver?
All that. Yeah, I'm fine.
I get two eyes.
Do you want to vote?
Okay. Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have any unfinished business?
I want to bring something up, Mike. On CSA.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to criticize CSA because you have to pay those bills. But some of those bills are like $9,000 and $10,000. And this has been going on for years. And I have brought up this suggestion 5, 6, 7 years ago that I think would be great to consolidate maybe 3, 4, or 5 counties, build a building, and I bet you we could save $500,000 if you took that whole program in together. Now, that's a job to do, but it's been ignored in the past. And I wonder why somebody doesn't look into that.
We can have Mr. Moeller look into that. He and I discussed that at one point, and I think there's some kind of legal issue for doing that. But I can get with him, and we can get back with you on what that exactly is. Because I know you brought this up before, and I know he has looked into it, and I believe there was a reason we can't, but I can get that for you.
And maybe you could even change the law in the General Assembly for some reason. I mean,
anything's possible.
I mean, yeah. You're never going to do it if you don't try.
Right.
And look at what Eric has done on the maintenance. How much is it now we're saving on maintenance? Having an in-house individual?
Oh, the HVAC?
Yes.
Hopefully going to be a couple, $150,000 to $200,000 a year.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, so...
I'll have Mr. Moeller check into it, and he can get back with you on what I know there was a reason we couldn't, and I know it was some kind of a legal issue, but I can't speak to what it was.
I'm just curious.
Huge undertaking, though. I mean, you got.
I know it is.
You know, not only building, but then you got to recruit the people, and you got to manage the people, and you got to, you know, have different areas because autistic kids don't necessarily group in the same level. You've got different tiers, and then
those all have to be overcome.
Yeah, all of those things, and then you have children that aren't autistic that are still troubled, and there's a lot of challenges around that.
And just with that, here's the thing I'll say with that. So if you just remember, whenever the schools are trying to hire for any type of individuals that are, you know, have any special skills, whether it's, you know, behavioral specialists or any of those types of fields, those are generally high fields, hard fields to get to, and usually the pay that they can get working for a private firm versus a local government is going to be higher. So the county would have to be able to pay, or however this works, what its authority or whatever the organization is, it would be a big undertaking to get the right individuals all lined up. It doesn't mean it's not possible, but we could have Mr. Mueller come back after the emergency piece of this is over, because that's not necessarily a continuity of government thing, but we could certainly have him give a presentation on what his findings are.
You don't look for reasons why you can't. You look for reasons why you can. That is success. And it is difficult. I have no question about that.
Miss Booker?
Do you hear me?
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we went over that when Mr. Weaver brought it up. Hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
My mic is on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think we went over that before Mr. Weaver brought that up. And I think Tony just a while ago said exactly why this is something that you couldn't put 5 or 6 counties together with all the different needs that the students have. You'd be building pretty much, it would look like a hospital, because there's so many disabilities that you would have to bring into one facility. I think that Mr. Miller can talk about it, but we've talked about it before. I don't know if anything has changed that would make that possible. You may be able to bring together some disabilities, but I don't think you would be able to do them all in one facility.
I agree with you.
Because I know right now we have kids that are transported anywhere from Stanton down to Richmond, and I think we actually send some east of Richmond. So we do have kids traveling all over the countryside.
Thank you.
But it's a good point. It's something to look into. Anything to save money.
We will have Mr. Mueller with CSA come back at a later time to discuss that and do a presentation.
But he might see it as stepping on his toes also. And I think he's done a good job since he's been here.
From him, you would still need a coordinator to be able to manage that. But what you're talking you're talking about creating almost, I don't know, for lack of a better word, some type of special education, mental health, private day facility or something like that. I'm not sure.
Well, and he's very collaborative. He works with all of the coordinators around here very well.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'd have any problem at all with the idea. I just remember there was an issue.
Yeah.
So we'll have to find out what that was.
There's plenty of issues when you get involved in that.
When you start talking about the state and their rules and regulations,
yes.
there were some problems, but that's not to say it's something that we can't at least look into or address, but he can tell us better with that. Yep.
Sometimes some of these things are one-to-one. Like there's one person for one kid.
Yeah.
It's
required.
Right. So that right there you've got $4,000 to $5,000 just for that one person.
$9,000 to $10,000.
But then you've got to add the cost of the building and the cost of management, you got to add all those other things, and the next thing you know, $8,000 is cheap.
To some people,
we will look into it.
Alrighty, is there any new business?
I have something about old business. I need to talk to ask Mr. Dahl. You said that we would be not having a meeting next week about our budget, but then voting on it the week after.
Yes.
Is there any more time for discussion on the budget?
Yes. So on April 29th at 4 p.m., we would start off the adjourned meeting from today and reconvene on April 29th, and the beginning of the meeting at 4 p.m. would be to discuss the budget and figure out where the board wants to end up with the budget. Once the board is satisfied and they've gone through their budget deliberations to kind of finalize things, then we could go through, have a closed session to let finance finalize some of the things that they need to do, and then we would then reconvene out of closed session, and then the board could adopt a budget.
Okay. I just want to be able to go over it again.
Oh, yeah. There will be time. I mean, we normally said, you know, we could put, you know, have, well, we could, you could take as much time as you want to go over it.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we got 3 hours, but we can always push it back the next the public hearing or the 29th meeting and start that one. If we can go as long as we need to figure out where we want to be.
Yep.
All right.
All righty. Is there any new business? Hearing none, I will now open the second round of public comments. Anyone wish to address the board, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Also, when you once you get on the phone, please state your name and your address. Is there anyone wish to speak to the board at this time? Do we have anybody?
Ms. Raynard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Ms. Raynard.
Okay. I was just listening to the rest of the discussion there. I guess, will there be another breakdown of the budget on, when you guys come back on the 29th, will there be a packet out there so that, you know, we could see what is being proposed or what is, you know, what cuts are being considered at that point? I don't know enough about, what the cuts are going to be from the state. You guys don't know. So I'm just curious about all of that. But, you know, again, my concerns are the same as your concerns with the budget. Is, you know, there's things that really, you know, aren't necessary. And then there are things that really, you know, we have to find a way to figure out how those things can get funded. But it's a hard decision to make. And I just know that right now it's a hard decision that every household is having to make. You know, they're having to decide how, like I said, how they're going to pay their bills. And same thing for the county. You know, the county's trying to decide how they're going to pay their bills. But I know that, you know, it all comes back to taxes, which is really it's a terrible thing right now because, you know, people don't even know about their jobs and they don't know about, you know, how they're going to, you know, pay their bills. And you know, my feelings on taxes anyway was not to increase them. So that hasn't changed in my feelings. But I did want to ask about the one comment about the 18,000 fire calls and the 28,000 EM calls. So, like, on 18,000 fire calls, I know that if there is an accident, and I live at Broken Island, there's a curve. And I think at least a couple of times a week, people wreck there. For whatever the reasons, you know, they go around that turn too quickly, and usually there's a wreck there. But I noticed that the fire truck goes to every call. So are they including in that 18,000 fire calls, those calls that they go to that aren't really fire calls? So I don't know if the gentleman can break that down to tell what is actually a fire call. And what is actually them just going, you know, to an accident, a wreck. And then the 28,000 EM calls, is that for the whole entire county?
And of all the different departments, the fire departments and the rescue squads department across the county, is that for all of the calls, for all the companies? Can he break that down among companies? You know, like how many of that 18,000 fire calls were really fires and not auto accidents? And how many of them were for Lake Monticello? How many of them for Kent Store? How many of them for Fourth Union? And same thing for the EMS calls, you know, because when he says 18,000 fire calls, are they calls that are also including, you know, us helping out Louisa or us helping out, you know, a neighboring county? So I'm really curious about, you know, the numbers and the breakdown on those, because like I said, if driving a fire truck to an accident where you're not really using any of those apparatuses or, you know, actual fire pieces of equipment is somehow another, wearing out some equipment, I don't know that I understand that. So I just would like to know more specific numbers, like I said, across the whole entire county, broken down by each company. And then each company has that number of trucks, so how many calls does each one of those trucks go on? And, I mean, I don't know if that gentleman is still on the line, but I'd be happy to come, you know, I'd just like to sit down with him and, you know, hear these exact numbers because, you know, that's a lot of money that we're talking about there. And, you know, if it's a ladder truck that goes to, I mean, I don't even know what call you would go to where you're needing that ladder truck. But those are the kind of things I have questions about. And like I said, those are big ticket items, big dollars that are going to get spent there. And I just think it's important to know the actual breakdown on numbers when you're making a decision like, you know, for that kind of money. And I don't know how their residents feel, but I feel very strongly about knowing all the detail and specifics when you're talking about tax dollars. So, like I said, I don't know if somehow that gentleman can you know, reach out to me, or I'd be happy to just go sit down and talk with them. And I don't know how the board.
Thank you, Ms. Reynard. I appreciate it. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time?
Yeah, this is John Knight, Free Loving Terrorist, chair of the FRA. I would be happy to meet with Ms. Reynard at some other point, but it's too involved in the discussion for the public hearing. But fire trucks are needed on motor vehicle accidents for a whole variety of reasons. As far as the breakdown of rescue squad calls, there are two EMS stations in the county, and we each run about 50% of the calls, so 1,350 to 1,400 calls per rescue squad per year in rough numbers. But I would be happy to meet with Ms. Reynard and go over more in more detail why fire trucks are needed on different things at different times, and Chief One certainly can provide those numbers at any time. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lye. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time? Hearing none, I will now close the second round of public comment. Mr. O'Brien, do you believe we need to go into closing?
Wait, we think there's one more person,
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear anybody.
Is there someone holding on the line? It's open, but
is there someone for the public comment?
There is someone there, but I don't know if they can hear us.
I wonder if it's like it was last week and we had the two people that were just listening to the meeting.
Could be. All right. They're not saying anything.
It may be just somebody that's listening to the meeting.
Well, if there's a technical difficulty, they can email us their public comment.
I'd be more than happy to hear from them. Okay, Mr. O'Brien?
Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors and Aaron to a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A6 and Section 2.2-3711A19 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing investment funds and public safety.
Second.
We got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Do I have a motion? We are now back in open session. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So made.
Wait, aren't you supposed to not adjourn?
Excuse me. Suspend the meeting until April the 29th at 4 o'clock.
Is that correct, Mr. Payne?
You are adjourning this meeting until 4 o'clock on the 29th of this month.
Adjourned or suspended?
Adjourned.
Okay. Adjourn this meeting until 4 o'clock on April the 29th.
At 4, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do we have a motion for that?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Eager. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We are now adjourned.
All right.